My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute. He joins me today to talk about some of the emerging challenges around the world, as well as the role of foreign policy in the 2016 campaign. And Ambassador, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
You tweeted out on Friday that Hillary Clinton would be a third term of President Obama on the world stage. What do you think we could see in the next 4 years if she were to be elected?
Well, I think it's important to understand that Hillary is extremely happy with the Obama foreign policy. You know, there's a lot of it's almost an urban legend now that somehow she would be tougher, more hawkish. I really don't see that. I base that both on the fact I've known her since we were in law school together and by looking at her four-year tenure as Secretary of State, and especially the way she describes it in her memoir, Hard Choices, where it's very hard, if not impossible, to find any real differences between what Hillary Clinton writes and what the Obama policy was. Now, obviously, that's also important as people consider their choice, but the idea that somehow Hillary would be preferable because she would be an improvement on the Obama foreign policy, I think, is badly misguided.
Following Donald Trump's recent foreign policy speech in Washington, you said that while you hadn't endorsed anyone, you were encouraged that Trump was insistent that American national security interests be first and foremost for the next commander-in-chief. What more do you hope to hear from him in the coming weeks, whether on specific challenges we face or his general philosophy to those areas?
Well, I think that it's now going to be very important because we know that national security will be a critical issue in the campaign, and I think actually could grow more important as we approach the election in November. To be more specific, I thought the speech was a good first step, but I think it's important, especially because Hillary's campaign will insist that her tenure as Secretary of State, which is her main qualification to be president, that was a record of success. And I think Trump needs to demonstrate that her record at state, which is the same as obviously the first 4 years of Obama, was a series of failures. So to do that is just going to require talking more about the subject. Now, I know the conventional wisdom in Washington is that foreign and defense policy are not uppermost on people's minds. I happen to think the conventional wisdom on that point is wrong, but it's also important to demonstrate that Trump can fulfill the most important job of the presidency, which is keeping the country safe. Obviously, the economy is important. There are a lot of important issues, but if the country's not safe, everything else is secondary.
Obviously, Trump has been in business for the past 40-plus years, and so getting into the nitty-gritty of foreign policy hasn't been first and foremost on his plate, although he's been a presidential candidate now for more than 10 months. And back in December at a debate, he seemed to be unclear what the nuclear triad was. So how steep is his learning curve right now?
Well, you know, he has said he's listed a number of advisors he has, and presumably is getting ready for the debates and the campaign and the fall season. And as I say, Hillary's going to try and take advantage of having been Secretary of State for 4 years. It's been a long time since the Secretary of State was elected president, but she's going to try and use that. And I think that's another reason that the commentators and political pundits are missing the point when they say it's going to be the economy, and the economy. Hillary doesn't have any experience with economic policy, so while she'll certainly talk about it, particularly how to give things away for free, she needs a counteroffensive to Trump's argument that he knows how to create jobs. That's what he does as a businessman. And I think, obviously, she's going to rely on that international experience at state. So it's very foreseeable what her emphases are going to be, and Trump needs to be ready for that.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. And, sir, let's talk about the context of this race with respect to some stories that are in the news. Just in the last week, we've seen a U.S. Navy SEAL killed in direct combat with ISIS, as well as roiling protests in and around Baghdad that literally spilled into Parliament. What do you advocate as the right policy there?
Well, I think that the violence in Parliament is a demonstration, really, that what's left of the government in Iraq really is on the verge of collapse. I have argued elsewhere that Iraq really functionally has disappeared as a state. The Kurds are functionally independent. ISIS has carved out primarily the Sunni areas, and the Shia areas of Iraq are dominated now by the Ayatollahs in Tehran. So I think when you put all that together, including now this third American being killed in what is obviously a combat environment, you can see the consequences of the collapse of American involvement in Iraq and the region as a whole. I think this is traceable directly back to Obama's decision to withdraw all American forces in 2011. They were the linchpin that held things together and gave Iraq the possibility of succeeding as a country. With us gone, not that we needed to be engaged in day-to-day politics, but our presence was a protection, in effect, for minorities within the country. Once we were gone, it opened the door to the Ayatollahs, and what you're seeing play out now is the consequence of that.
So do you advocate a partitioning, since it's a non-functional state at this point, along those ethnic and sectarian lines? What's the right way to advocate here?
Well, I don't advocate it. I just think we have to recognize it as a reality. And I think there's one important aspect to defeat ISIS, which I think we should do sooner rather than later for the protection of our own innocent civilians in this country against ISIS terrorist attacks, that we have to give the Sunni Arabs of Western Iraq and Eastern Syria an incentive to leave ISIS and join us. And I think creating a new state out of what used to be Syria and Iraq makes sense. They're not going to fight ISIS so they can come back under the domination of the Ayatollahs in Western Iraq or the Assad regime in Eastern Syria. And I think that obviously is just a further recognition that the post-World War I settlement has disappeared. It didn't have to be this way. That's not the ideal outcome necessarily. But in foreign policy, if you're not dealing in reality, you're going to fail.
Ambassador, you've often told us, especially in recent interviews, that you believe our adversaries will probably be pretty aggressive in the final months of the Obama administration because they've sensed weakness to this point, and they don't sense that he's willing to do much to stop their ambitions, depending on what they are in the final months of his administration. We've obviously seen Chinese territorial ambitions in the South China Sea. We've seen recent examples of Russian fighter jets buzzing our Navy aircraft and even some of our planes. So what additional challenges do you think might be on the front burner for our next president as a result of what could take place in the next few months here?
Well, I think the continuing deterioration of the Middle East, all across North Africa as well, is going to accelerate. And I think we're going to see Iran challenges on a variety of points. I think they're going to try and press the outer limits of the Vienna deal on their nuclear weapons program. They just recently, the head of the Revolutionary Guards Corps threatened yet again to close the Strait of Hormuz. I think threatening moves against friendly Arab states in the region are all in the offing. I just see this risk really on a global basis because while our adversaries don't know any better than we do who will win the election in November, they can read the calendar and they know when Obama's term comes to an end, which is why, as you pointed out, I've been arguing that we're, I think, particularly vulnerable until January the 20th of next year. And, you know, the vulnerability will extend beyond that. Any new president, Trump or Clinton, has a learning curve, has a lot of other things. So those early months are often a time for an adversary to make that 3 a.m. call to test the new president, too.
And just as an exit, sir, now that the Republican race is appears to be settled anyway, are you getting behind officially Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I've said now for over a year that I'm going to back whomever the nominee of the party is. I said that back when Rand Paul was thought to be a serious contender. I believe this is a binary choice. The next president will either be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, unless Hillary gets indicted. And talk about a third-party candidate, I think, is badly misplaced. The idea of not voting at all is no better because, functionally, that's a vote for Hillary. And it may have a really harmful effect on Senate and House races, where Republicans are going to be fighting hard to maintain control. And if a lot of people just flat-out stay home, that would be very much to those candidates' disadvantage.
Mr. Ambassador, as always, great to have your analysis. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.